Today's Transmissions podcast is brought to you by 80stees.com. 80stees.com has an incredible selection of Transformers shirts and hoodies, including some amazing Transformers costume hoodies. Transform into Grimlock, Megatron, or even Optimus Prime with the 80stees.com costume hoodies.
So Yoshi, I looked up where, just because I was bored, I looked up where Juneau is, and you're pretty damn close to Canada, buddy.
Oh yeah, no. Like, Juneau's like just on a shit island where it might as well be part of Canada.
So, like, how far of a drive would it be to get to British Columbia?
Oh, well, it's all, the road's only 45 minutes long. So once you hit the road, you either have to go on foot with a gun so you don't get eaten by a bear, or you just come to your senses before that 45 minutes is up and you ask yourself, you know, internally, what the fuck was I going to Canada for?
So there's no actual road into British Columbia is what you're saying.
There's no road in or out of this town. I'm not going to speak for British Columbia, but as far as Juneau is concerned, you can't drive here.
Hmm.
Which is kind of weird when you look at all the cars that are in town.
So only by boat or by plane you can get to Juneau.
By sled dog.
Yeah.
Hello, all sentient beings, and welcome to the Transmissions Podcast, where we talk about all news, toys, and comic books related to the
Transformers!
On this episode of Transmissions, we discuss Make Toys and their imitation Scorponok figure. The guys all show off Emerald City Comic-Con goodies they received in our Trips to the Store segment, and Daryl reviews Transformers Robots in Disguise number 29. Wait, what?
Welcome to Transmissions, the podcast that cannot be infiltrated, escalated, or devastated. I'm your host, Charles, a.k.a. Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team. Yusuf, better known as Yoshi.
Yo!
Jeremy, a.k.a. Yakko.
Hello.
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
Hey, everybody, how's it going? Let's talk Transformers.
All right, and as we always do, we start off with toys. So, Daryl, let's... get into it.
Yeah, let's do that. We've got some new news from Make Toys, who have brought us a new, basically a sketch for their upcoming CityBot. Now, we talked about it earlier where they had, where they showed us images of their Metroplex figure, and they went, and they're calling him Utopia. Well, they've released images of their MCB-03 Pandinus. Anyway, this thing is Scorponok. And I said it when we saw the Make Toys Metroplex that this was a CityBot series, and they're keeping that series alive with Scorponok here. Now, obviously, some of these images aren't the greatest quality because they're just, you know, sketches and whatnot. But what do you guys think?
This is ridiculous. I mean, I understand having renders maybe and teasing the audience, but now it's like, this is what we're going to do, and here's the pencil sketch. Pretty soon it's going to be like, here's the computer we're going to design this Transformer we haven't named yet. So everybody get ready.
Yeah, or here's the napkin that we jotted down the ideas on.
This brain is going to form the idea of whichever Transformer we're going to do in about 6 months from now.
Well, it is a little bit much, but at least they're letting people know that that's what they're working on, and I can respect that.
Good, because I make fun of it.
Charles, yeah, what do you think?
Well, I mean, it's very thin information to go on, but it looks interesting. I mean, I'm intrigued. It looks like Scorponok. It looks like it could be super detailed based on this, you know, black and white sketch.
Have they done this before, Daryl?
Release things in a sketch format?
Yeah.
I know that it's been done before. I mean, look at Takara's doing it right now with their Star Saber.
Could this be something Make Toys is like sub? Or what's the word I'm looking at? Is trying to get across to Hasbro, like, don't even fucking think about it. We're on top of it.
I mean, but I don't think Hasbro Hasbro is going to change their lineup based on what third parties are doing.
I mean, Hasbro has the IP, so they would just sue them.
Yeah, they've already got the name Scorponok. So, I mean, they can always, I mean, they can do, any company can do whatever they want with anything that looks like Scorponok if they wanted to. And frankly, any Transformer, but they can't use the name. So, it's, I don't think Hasbro gives two shits about what, you know, Make Toys is doing. It's not their audience. Their audience is kids. It's always been kids.
What?
It's always been kids.
Nice. It means enough. It means enough to our viewer, to our listeners to correct Daryl's speech impediment, and we will do it one segment at a time.
You know, we also have non-American listeners.
What?
Yeah. Well, then we are providing an educational service as well.
I just find it as comic relief that I can sound like a hick American.
No, you can sound like a bad approximation of a hick American.
You are insulting hick Americans by saying that.
Well, y'all can keep your opinions to yourselves, and I will go on with my next topic, which segues nicely. That just became Australian. I don't know how that happened. Anyway, we're going to talk about another Scorponok figure. This is Perfect Effects Deathstalker. Now, this is kind of a little bit better. Yoshi, I don't know how you're going to feel about this. You've got some actual toys to look at here. So you've got their quote-unquote not Zarek figure. But you've also got a silhouetted, you know, body. So it's kind of good, kind of bad. Some a little bit A, a little bit of column B. But I don't know. What do you think of that? It's in the same size class as Warden. So, you know, they're keeping that size class going. And yeah, it's kind of cool. It's kind of expected from them to keep that class going with Warden.
You know, I got nothing, Daryl. I do think it's cool that third parties are making this stuff, but who the hell's buying it, for one? I'm used to seeing the silhouetted thing. I wasn't used to seeing the sketch.
Right.
It just seems so preliminary. If Hasbro and Takara is not going to do it, more power to these guys.
Okay.
Yeah, I like that they were, they wanted to follow up the Warden figure, cause of course, Fortress Maximus and Scorponok have a history. So, you know, having a guy in the same scale as their Warden Fortress Maximus, I think was a good move. And it seems like the Warden did pretty well. At least I saw a lot of people picked him up.
Yeah, I every time I turned around on Twitter, somebody else was messing with him. So
yeah,
there were a lot of people buying them. Yeah. Jeremy?
Well, I'm impressed that they actually have something that they're showing. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if that head will also fit on Warden. Just, you know, if the plug is compatible.
Oh, that would be cool if it did. I assume it would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it looks nice.
Yeah.
It's going to be out of my price range.
Now, I got one last thing for us here. This is just an update. We talked about it last episode, episode 48, where we've got a Transformers pen. This is Optimus Prime in pen form.
Oh yeah.
From Sentinel Toys. And, we've actually got a price for him now. This is, went up for pre-order on BBTS.
Uh huh.
You can get them in two different color palettes. So the standard red and blue for Optimus Prime and a black for, you know, Nemesis or Black Convoy. The price, however, $54.99.
Oh my God. Does this thing transform its fucking self?
It doesn't even look like it's anything other than your typical, you know, ballpoint pen in terms of the actual pen part. For that price, I would hope that it would be a higher end, like at least where you could, you know, put in new ink cartridges.
Yeah. It obviously, you know, the fact that it's a Transformer and it's Optimus Prime and the articulation is out of this world, make it a little bit more pricey than the average pen.
Right.
But $55 worth?
No.
That's crazy.
That's fountain pen prices.
Yeah, that's like I can, you know, turn this pen into a sword and kill you with it prices. You know, it's insane. So I don't know. It's jumped right out of my price range. And, I just want to see one now. I just want somebody to get one so I can just kind of check it out. But, it's very cool. I can't wait to see one in person, but it's way too much for me.
On a side note, I was unaware that BBTS was doing this, but there's a pen website I frequent called Jet Pens, and I sent them an email with a link to this thing, and I asked them if they'd be able to get their hands on it, and I was told, because I sent it on Friday, to expect an email next week.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty interesting, because, you know, fucking $54, Christ.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to keep my eyes open for the Japanese websites to see if they can get it a little bit cheaper. Like some places like HLJ, AmiAmi, you know, other places like that. And maybe somewhere along the lines, you know, the store like that you found is maybe have a line in with somebody that'll be able to get it a little bit better. But yeah, that's $55 is an insane price for a pen. So.
Yeah, that really, you know, I saw a link on Twitter say, oh, it's up on Big Bad Toy Store, you can pre-order. I was like, ooh, I really like this. Let me look at it. And then sadness. I mean, that thing was so cool. I was willing to spend $20, even $30 for that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, $55. That's crazy money.
Too much. Yeah. Right on.
All right. Jeremy, what do you have for us?
I have pictures of the new KFC Toys Tempest figure, which is their Cyclonus. And it's just like the plain plastic. They're just test shots. So it's kind of slightly translucent. I imagine it's not the actual grade of plastic that they're going to use when they release it. But it's going to be Voyager sized. It looks like a good Cyclonus, but you know, we got a good Cyclonus a few years ago from Hasbro. I'm not in any hurry to replace it. What do you guys think?
I'm wondering why they didn't do a more than meets the eye Cyclonus. That probably would have been something that people would be interested in.
Yeah.
True. I know when I first saw these images, I was looking at the robot mode and the shoulders and the head, especially the shoulders, reminded me very much of the Hasbro Cyclonus.
Right.
So I thought maybe they just did the same mold or very close to it and just upscaled it to Voyager class. But obviously they changed significant parts of it. But I'm in agreement with you, Jeremy, that the one from Hasbro from a couple years ago is quite a good Cyclonus mold. So yeah, I'll be interested to see a better version of this, the soapy green or the soapy white one here. But I do like the one that I have. You can't really see any detail on this one here.
The picture that they took in robot mode, they need to take some lessons in photography because you need to have lighting from the front, not the back.
Yeah.
Because basically all of the detail is just too dark to tell on the picture.
Yeah.
What about you, Yoshi?
I agree with all your complaints about the pictures, and I'd like to think that they did that on purpose rather than they don't know how to use a camera.
I'm sure they did.
But having absolutely no Cyclonus figures at all in my possession and being completely unaware of what was released this previous year, I think this looks like a solid figure. I would like to know that there's a spot there for I can buy a sticker and throw on it for the Decepticon faction, but I'm going to assume it's there, and I think it looks like a solid figure from what we can tell.
Mm-hmm.
Yoshi said something nice. What the hell is wrong with him?
Yeah, about third party.
Yeah.
All right, we need to just end the show now. All right. Well, so that's all I got.
Okay.
Is it my turn? Yes, Yoshi.
All right. Well, we've got some news from Wulong Toys, who are now offering some updated articulated hands for Echo TF, or Bruticus, if you will. I guess a lot of people out there that collect action figures want to be able to flip each other off with them. So that's cool. These are true. Some intricate looking fingers.
Yeah.
I think.
No, he's done a good job on these things for sure.
Yeah, seriously.
The if you remember back when we were talking to Wulong on, you know, we interviewed him a while back, he was saying that the articulated hands were supposed to be part of the Echo TF Boosticus kit. Right. But for whatever reason, they didn't get included in it. So, you know, so now Wulong has offered these things up, but he did actually talk to Echo TF, and offer them to him to say, look, I'd like to put these up, but only if you're cool with me kind of saying that they're for your set. Right. Cause he didn't want to be a dick about it. Right. And just say, hey, I've improved his set. Right. Cause that's a huge dick move. So he didn't want to be a dick about it. So he went and talked to him about it, and they actually came to a cool agreement, and Echo TF was decent and about it, and said, yeah, that's no problem. Go ahead. So yeah, now Wulong can offer this set and not feel guilty about it.
For the reasonable price of $19, you can have your Bruticus flip himself off.
There you go.
I think you'll have him flip you off or somebody else off, right? He doesn't flip himself off.
Sure.
He could be looking in the mirror.
No, they are. I really think they are pretty gnarly hands, honestly. They look, you know, for something Daryl gave me and I'm looking at for the very first time, I'm very impressed at.
Yeah, but it's kind of cool because we had both these guys on the podcast a few months ago. So we had Echo TF on back in October. Mm-hmm. And then we had Christian Wulong Toys on in February.
Yeah. No, it's really cool to see these guys getting together and on this set kind of thing. Very cool.
Yeah, very cool that they were able to agree with everything. All right, next, guys. Warbitrons updated their non-brawl figure after receiving a lot of user feedback from the looks of things. The pink eyes have been switched to orange. And the guns are now black, thank God, because that was bothering me. No idea what I'm talking about. Let me pull up the image.
Weren't these the ones that had like the pink guns?
Yeah.
Yeah, these were the ones where when we looked at them the first time, you were just like, oh my God, those guns are hideous.
That's right. Like, how cool is that, that they're listening to people and they care?
Well, they've got some PR stuff to make up.
I see.
But yeah, no, it is pretty cool.
I guess, am I the only one who, like, didn't mind the pink guns? I mean, I don't care either way, but...
Yes.
The pink guns didn't bother me.
Personally, for me, I think I remember remarking that if you had all five of these guys, you weren't going to be keeping them in their individual modes very much.
Right.
So the pink guns weren't going to be used all that much, so you would hardly ever see them. But, you know, it... The fact that they've gone and done this just to appease the small amount of people that were like, look, these pink guns are just trash. You know, give us some black guns or don't give us guns at all kind of thing. It makes it look a lot better, I think. And it shows that they are actually listening to the user feedback that they receive.
Oh, cool.
And I believe that's what I got. What about you, Charles? What are you bringing to the table this week?
All right. So, first off, I think we talked earlier about these Evolution 2 packs that they've been doing for the upcoming Transformers Age of Extinction movie. They're packaging a movie figure with an older figure that's supposed to represent G1. And I think earlier we had speculated or we had heard some rumors that the Optimus Prime Evolutions 2 pack was going to have a different... Optimus Prime figure. I forget what it was called, but it seems like that wasn't whatever the figure it was that we had talked about. It wasn't the one that's actually being packaged in. They're actually packaging in the Classics Optimus Prime figure as the G1 representative. And then the Evasion Mode Optimus Prime is representing the movie figure in their 2-pack. And they both get some new paint jobs for this 2-pack. It seems like with the evasion mode Optimus Prime, we can't ever win. So this one, it has the faceplate, but then it has those dumb flames on the truck mode. So, you know, you don't get the truck, you know, the original evasion mode figure had the nice truck mode that really looked like, you know, the G1 cab mode.
Yeah.
But now the paint applications for this one in the two pack just, I don't know. I just don't like it. I don't know. I thought the other evasion mode Optimus looked better, but anyway, you get in this two pack, you get that one, which I think is, at least to me, it looks like one of the better figures in the new movie lines. And then you get the classics Optimus Prime, which is a pretty good G1-esque Optimus.
Yeah, I wonder if this is why Botcon used that mold, because Hasbro was already using it.
Right. Yeah, that could be the case. I mean, and yeah, so as you said, Jeremy, they're using this same mold to represent Jinrai as one of the figures for the Botcon set. As the one of the knights in their Pirates versus Knights set.
Yeah, what was the name of the Prime mold that we thought it was going to be? Jeremy, you knew what it was. It was like the... Oh, man, I'm drawing a blank on what it was called. It was like
I can't remember.
It was... They always made fun of it because it looked like it was Optimus Prime lying down. Oh, man. Now I forget what it was called.
It was the hybrid style.
Hybrid style. You got it. There you go. Yeah. And I was actually kind of looking forward to getting that.
I think we all were.
Yeah. And then, but to be perfectly honest, I really, really like the classics mold. I don't have it yet. I've been chasing it for a long time. And, the fact that I'll be able to buy it now for less than minimum $50 on eBay is, you know, ridiculous. Yeah, I'm really happy that I'll be able to get that. And a second evasion mode Optimus is, you know, it's decent, I guess. I'll probably end up taking the head off of the one in the two pack here and putting it on my regular one just to get a decent, you know, one. But yeah, it's I'm actually going to chase this two pack down because it's got a lot of the stuff I want in it.
So what do you think the price point will be, since the classics mode is the classics prime is a Voyager size figure, right?
Yeah, and this two Voyagers. Yeah,
so and you think it'll be like $50 for both of them?
I do, yeah. I think it'll probably be 50, if not 60.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd say it's probably gonna be around 60.
Yeah, because the classics one has a lot of chrome on it now. They've got chrome thighs. They've gone ahead and put chrome on the bumper and on the grill, which is homaging the G1. And yeah, so it's G1'd up that classics mold completely. And then, I mean, they really haven't done anything new to the evasion mode one except for new paint. So
yeah, lots of blue.
Yeah, and it doesn't look great, but then the faceplate is what's, you know, the new part on that, but whatever. I honestly will be looking for this just to get the classics Optimus out of that.
Yoshi, you have any thoughts? Guess that's a no.
No, it's like, but doesn't it seem like they really have just given up on making toys that are good? I'm serious. I mean, what? Who on the planet says I'm going to buy a truck or a car or a bicycle or get a Hot Wheels car and I want blue flames on it? And not even two-tone blue flames, just solid flames on it. They gave up. They fucking said package something and then they walked out of the board meeting.
Well, I mean, I don't know. They think someone wants it, because the easiest thing to do would be to not even do a redeco of the evasion mode
Prime. The easiest thing to have done would have said, Michael Bay, it was a fun ride, but we found a director that'll work for half of what you're asking for. Good luck. And we probably wouldn't be stuck with what we're looking at right now.
I don't think Michael Bay makes the decisions about the decos on the toys.
Okay, sure. Fine, I'll give you that. I'm sorry. But you guys know how I feel about this. Everybody that's listening knows how I feel about it. I'm beating to death a dead horse. They could try a little harder is all I'm saying.
Well, I mean, what I'm saying is that they apparently think someone wants this, and their market research probably says someone does want it to look like that. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to make the mistake that what I want is what the, you know, entire toy buying Transformers market wants. And,
you know, you have a bunch of 7-year-olds who are going to see this movie and they're going to want an Optimus Prime when they go to the store the next time.
Right.
And their options are limited to this piece of shit that we're being offered, as opposed to, you know, let's actually test this. Let's have one that's painted and looks somewhat remotely like what's going to be in the movie. And then let's have a piece of crap, really cheap version and see which one sells. I'd like to think mankind would pick the better looking, more time was put into it, higher quality toy than this thing. But since this is what kids are being offered, this is what's going to sell. They don't have a choice.
Well, I mean, and this is this is.
You want to hug it out, bitch? Let's hug it out. All right.
No, I mean, I think at least from what I've seen and what this toy is, you know, other than the paint jobs here, this is one of the better figures from the Age of Extinction line. You do have the really cheap, like those one step changer ones are the really cheap versions that are like much less detail and much less articulation than what's here. It's just, you know, it's still at the end of the day still looks, you know, like the movie Prime guy. So it's still not, you know, it's not G1, but.
Well, no, and it doesn't even have to be G1. It's just, it looks like it looks cheap. I mean, when I was a kid, you know, and God, here's a good example. Batman, the animated series. Now, I didn't get into that cartoon until it was 3 seasons in. So the first wave of figures where Batman looks like Batman without any goofy shit attached to him was sold out. I didn't have a chance. So by the time I got into that and I went to the store to buy it, it was, you know, translucent blue Batman who's not once. You get what I'm saying? Like, yeah. This doesn't look like what's in the fucking film. Kids want what's in the film, but they're going to settle for what they're being offered.
Well, I mean, but they already have like the other evasion mode Prime that looks more like the movie.
That just shows you how much I care. I'm just not paying attention.
You're forgetting half the market or more, which is grandparents, parents who only know that Jimmy or Bobby like Transformers. And they don't know jack about Transformers. They just know that they gotta get a Transformer for
right.
A birthday or C or B a Christmas or C a present
into
for a
this
visit.
Group of people that are gonna buy the shit version of whatever's out there.
They will. They right. will, and that's what's gonna sell because it fits the profile of what they need to get. And I much prefer this evasion or evolution or yeah, the evolution pack for something like this. Because, yeah, they're getting their movie version, but they're also getting a G1-esque toy, right? It's not the G1 version, right? Because let's face it, you're not going to see a lot of those released anymore, unfortunately. We gotta realize that G1 is, for all intents and purposes, the toys are gone, right? They're not going to come back. But, you know, these classics, this classic Optimus Prime, this redeco of this, that is really good looking G1. Right? They did a really good job on that. The paint's really good. The chrome's in the right spot, right? The blue is perfect, you know? So, you know, you've got a kid that's going to have this Optimus Prime now that looks completely different than the one from the movie. And he's going to wonder, why does Optimus Prime look like this? You know, and as he or she, obviously, you know, grows and plays at the same time, they'll wonder and they'll might look into it and find out and see somewhere, well, there's an Optimus Prime that looks like my toy. And they'll explore and they'll go and they'll get into something different. Maybe the comics or maybe the old show or something like that. Cause the old show is on Netflix, right? So, you know, through these old toys could lead to these kids of today seeing and experiencing the stuff that you are so passionate about. Get me?
I get you. But I don't. I mean, if that's why they're doing it, which I highly doubt. I mean, I don't think that's the grandmaster plan here.
But, I highly doubt that too. But right. it could happen. It's possible.
Oh no, it absolutely will happen. I have no doubt about that. You know, I mean, even if there were no toys and it was just the fucking movie, kids are going to want more and more shit, and they're going to find all this stuff, and that's fine. But this is. I guess what I'm saying is the toys today that are released compared to the toys that I had when I was a kid are a far cry from the quality. I mean, it's just, you know, I'm sure when I have a kid and they want this piece of shitty plastic, I'll end up caving, but I will put up the argument like, you know, we could probably find something that's a better value for your kid that you're going to love more.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, shit, you guys have kids, you tell me.
Well, I mean, it's not, I think it's hard to make a blanket statement because, you know, we've been gushing over the Legends Cosmos that just released, and that's, you know, that's a pretty awesome toy. That's much better than G1 Cosmos, I'll even say.
We're going to get to that later today.
He'll deal with you later.
But, I mean, so it's not, you know, they recognize that they have, you know, they have a, lots of different market segments, and they're making G1-esque toys for collectors, and they're going to continue to do that. And I think the mass marketed movie toys are what's going to prop up the collector market so that they still have the resources to do the G1-esque toys that we like.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But why do they have to offer crap?
Because it's cheap.
Well, I mean, I think that's a matter of opinion. It's not necessarily. I mean, it doesn't look nice, but
thank you.
It's not necessarily cheap product. All right, let's move on. Because I did have another toy.
Oh, goody. Hit me, Charles.
So this is a third party. This is, again, Make Toys. And they have revealed a third party Computron that I think we talked about this briefly around Christmas time that they announced it.
Yeah.
And they called this Quanturon, basically. So. And they have put up some pictures of all five figures, and the Computron mode too. And they've also put a picture, a comparison shot of Computron standing next to their Devastator figure, which is Hercules. Is that right?
Giant.
Okay. And Daryl, what do you got? What do you think about these guys? They look pretty cool to me.
Yeah, they actually they announced them. Actually, almost a year ago now, because they brought their prototype to TFCon last year, and these things are wicked. Like when I saw this this series of photos, this album pop up, I was looking at it thinking that Make Toys really has stepped up their game within the last few months, and that it's almost like there's been a shift in the third party market. Because for the longest time, TFC was at the top, and TFC's really just let their self go recently. They just seem to be pumping out the same kind of stuff and not really making any, engineering breakthroughs or whatnot. And it's just the same crap, but Make Toys is just really doing some really nice stuff right now. Really clean lines, really sleek figures. And, I really like where their stuff is going. It's not getting any cheaper. But it looks really nice. And still, like, I mean, you can't forget that Fans Project is still right up there as well. But this, Quantron figure looks really cool. I mean, you've got all the same figures, all the same designs as what you would see in G1's Computron, but they're reimagined into new third party, bots, right?
Yeah.
Like, what is it? Lightspeed? The motorcycle? Is that right?
The motorcycle's Afterburner.
Afterburner, right. So Afterburner, like, I mean, I've got this guy, and I'm looking at him here for the Make Toys version, and man, they've just totally reimagined that bot mode. It looks nothing like the G1 guy that I've got. You know, it looks, I mean, obviously the G1 guys were really crummy. They didn't do much in the way of transforming, but wow, they've really gone far with the designs of these guys. And then the combination mode, for Quantron is, like insane. It's how cool it is. The color palette works really well. And yeah, I really like it a lot.
What is the bow and arrow he's got? Is that like a piece that comes off of, Scattershot, the centerpiece? Or
yeah, it looks like it. It looks like it's coming off of his back there. I don't know what the names are for these guys, but yeah, it looks really cool. If I had the cash, I'd get so much other stuff, but yeah, this would be right up there too.
Jeremy, you have any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it looks nice, but I agree with what you say about the price. I mean, judging from what their Devastator, combiner cost, this thing is just going to be crazy expensive, but it looks nice.
How much did the Devastator cost?
You can get him right now for $400. But
oh
when he,
my God.
When he was first released, he was around $600. So yeah. It's interesting with these combiners that if you're able to wait a while and if there is available stock at that time, you can actually save a good chunk of money by waiting. And it's one of the benefits of there being a combination war, if you will, going on right now. So many different companies doing so many of the same character, there's going to be extras.
All right. I think that'll wrap it up for toys, and we'll move on to comics. So, this week, IDW released their solicitations for August, so we'll have a link to that in the show notes, but we won't discuss any of the teasers here so that, there's a spoilers there, so check them out at your own risk. But not too much surprising here in the list, so we've got More Than Meets the Eye number 32, Robots in Disguise number 32, Transformers versus G.I. Joe number 2, and then the IDW Collection Phase 2 Hardcover Volume 1, so that is the what they've been teasing that collects the first few issues of Robots in Disguise and More Than Meets the Eye. So I think that's the Death of Optimus Prime and the first five or six. Okay. Of both Robots in Disguise and More Than Meets the Eye?
Yeah.
Okay.
Phase 1 isn't even for sale yet.
But Phase 1 is all the previous stuff.
Up until this point. My bad.
So they didn't call it Phase 1. They just called it the hardcover?
It was collection. The IDW collection.
Yeah. Which just collected everything from the start of IDW's Transformers up to the end of the ongoing from 2011. Then the one kind of tiny surprise is that Primacy number 1 is coming out in August. And it's not going to be the short form digital only series anymore. So Primacy is going to be, looks like it's just going to be a 4-issue miniseries.
Well, I'm wondering if they had the other Monstrosity and Autocracy in the solicitations at all, since they were digital first.
Yeah, I don't think they did. I think only the print versions were in the solicitations last year. They announced at WonderCon that Primacy was coming in August, so I don't think they're going to release a digital first like in July or something.
It could be at the end of August that the paper version comes out.
But I think this is the paper version, isn't it?
Right, that's what I'm saying. So the digital versions could come out before then.
Listen, ladies, you're both right.
Well, I think it's the format is just going to be the regular 22-page comic. I don't think it's going to be the 8-page.
Well, you're sure to find out in June when you go to BotCon.
Yeah, I guess we should have asked. We should have asked Levy about this when we had him on.
Yeah, I blame Daryl.
It's fine.
Well, speaking of blaming Daryl, we have a comic review this week, and Daryl is going to lead us through this. So this is Robots in Disguise number 29.
Yeah, you talk about a shit show. Here we go.
No, Daryl, you'll be fine. Just go for it.
So you want me to do this now, huh? Is this the time in the is this the time in the show when you guys talk comics? Because I usually mute and go to the bathroom.
All right, Dale, you're off the review.
Fired.
Let's see here. Let's crash this bus. We've got, what is this? All right, this comic book is called Robots in Disguise. It is got three covers here. We've got cover. I'm assuming this is cover A. They never put it on the first cover.
Hey, Daryl.
Yo, buddy. What?
We're all counting on you. Good luck.
The fate of the world depends on me.
We're screwed.
Well, I think now that they've introduced this term of subscription cover, cover A is now just regular cover. They don't call it cover A anymore.
Okay. It's never marked as cover A.
Interesting. All right, well then, regular cover has Optimus Prime looking all defensive and like, whoa man, what did I do? And he's got two tank turrets pointing at him, as well as a Marissa Fairborn pointing at him, like, with one hand on her ear, being like, yeah, shoot that bastard. So, yeah, that's cover A. And subscription cover is five Constructicons. Let's see, who we got here? Mixmaster, Longhaul, everyone except for Scrapper. Scrapper's dead, right?
Yeah, Scrapper's dead.
Yeah, so yeah, all of them. And they're all looking very grimacing, like what's going on, you know, let's do something. I believe, the regular cover is drawn by Andrew Griffith. The subscription cover is Casey Collar.
Yeah, and he actually tweeted his line art for this tonight, and we can have a link to that in the show notes.
Cool. Yeah, he generally does that. He'll tweet out his line art first, and then he'll tweet out the cover. And then we got the RI cover, the retail incentive cover, and this is drawn by Marcelo Mater, and it is the covers that just don't seem to know what's going on in the book.
At least one of these characters is in the book.
Yeah. First time we thought it was a mistake. Second time is a coincidence. Third time, this is a pattern here. I think it's possible that we are the ones that are making the mistake. We've got Optimus Prime, holding or grabbing something out of the sky and crushing it. And we've got Hot Rod in the background, as well as Hardhead shooting things in the air. And we've got in the background some shadowy Autobots, I'm assuming, also firing on things in the air.
Cyclonus is in the background flying.
Oh, is that Cyclonus? Okay, I can't tell.
He's the plane above that turret.
Okay, my colors are muted. I can't really see it very well. What do you guys think? Which cover would you guys be picking if you were in the stores right now?
Casey Collar all the way.
Okay.
I like that shot. And just looks pretty cool. The colors look awesome, too. So also, don't forget the colorists. So Priscilla Tramontano did the regular and incentive covers, and Joanna LaFuente did Casey's subscription cover.
Right. Yes. Jeremy, you're going with the Constructobots, too?
Yeah.
Constructicons?
Yeah.
Constructobots. You're out of here, Daryl.
I'm drunk. No.
I think that's just an awesome shot of the five Constructicons.
But are you sure it has something to do with the story? We will find out.
I know they're on Earth.
Yoshi, what do you think?
Oh, combine me a follower. I'm going with the Constructobots.
Cool. I am kind of torn between the Optimus one and the Constructicons cover. Knowing what happens in the book, I may lean one way, but I do like the Optimus Prime one because that is that is directly referencing the end of the last book. So, yeah. Anyway, let's get into this sucker. This story is written by John Barber, art by Andrew Griffith. Earth flashback art by Guido Guidi. Nice to get him back on this, on a book. Cybertron flashback art by Brandon Cahill. Nice to see him back here. Colors by Josh Perez. Flashback colors by Joanna LaFuente. Tom B. Long did the letters, and the editor was Carlos Guzman.
Looks like they left off an L for Brendan Cahill's last name.
Did I?
Did they?
No. I don't know.
Oh, maybe.
I think it's two L's, isn't it? I don't know.
Standard previously page goes through what they saw in the what we saw in the last issue. Roll call. We see Optimus Prime. They title him as Commander, Cup, Old Soldier, Jazz, Improviser, Prowl. He's the intelligence. RC is the warrior. Sideswipes here as the hothead. Cosmos, the observer. That makes sense. Jetfire is the scientist. And Skylynx, well, he's transportation.
Hey, Daryl.
Okay. Yes, sir.
I just want to wish you luck. We're all rooting for you.
Oh, this is going to be bad.
You should put in the roll call, Yoshi, moral support.
Yes, that's right. And Yoshi, moral support. Okay, so first page. Really cool. Big full page spread of Devastator, referencing back to All Hail Megatron. It's a really cool shot. Lots of explosions. It really brought me right back to All Hail Megatron because I really love that series. Now, this was just to show that underneath all this chaos, there was actually, you know, a human side of it, and that Marissa Fairborn was actually, you know, involved in this. She was protesting down at the financial district, when, you know, all this devastation was occurring, and a building essentially came down. It trapped some people inside, and the people she was essentially protesting against were trapped, so she ended up saving someone she was protesting against. We go forward into the battle. She's sitting there talking with the guy. She can see the devastation outside. She can see the robots. She sees, she can see Soundwave and Megatron outside, blasting her city away. That's what gives her the motivation to become the military person she is today. So we fast forward to right now, and she's standing there, at the foot of Galvatron and Soundwave, where she confronts Soundwave and says, "You were there. I saw you, destroy, my world." So he knows. Now Galvatron's a bit crazy still. Galvatron says, "Please tell us another tale of your people's weakness, or better still, if you wish to test your readiness." And then Soundwave interrupts and says, "No, this is not what we agreed to. The human speaks responsibility, Galvatron." So he's Soundwave is the voice of reason right now. He's trying to
He's trying to tell Galvatron, "You're going to ruin the plan. Shut up."
Yeah. So it's probably good that Soundwave was there right now. Plus they would probably end up destroying all these people. So, but we get introduced to another character who we haven't seen in Transformers comics for a while, General Daniel Witwicky. So Charles, when was the last time we had a Daniel Witwicky in the comic?
Yeah. So this is a callback to All Hail Megatron. And this is IDW Sparkplug basically. So, they, you know, in the G1 series, Sparkplug never had a real first name. So they, when they introduced him in IDW, they named him Daniel, which is, of course, a callback to Spike's son from G1. But, you know, here he's basically Spike's father in the IDW universe. He has the nickname Sparkplug in this storyline. So he is basically IDW Sparkplug.
It would make sense. I mean, it's not uncommon for a kid to be named after their grandparent.
Right.
No. It works. So anyway, we go on. There's more talking. Blah, blah, blah. Politics. And essentially, the Decepticons and the humans, Marissa Fairborn and her group, agree that working together with the Decepticons to protect the Earth. They're not protecting the Earth. You're going to have to help me out here. I forget what's happened in this section.
Well, yeah, basically the Decepticons are coming and saying that Earth is going to be threatened again by the Autobots, and right. They're here to help them protect them from the Autobots because Megatron has switched sides.
Yes. Yeah. So we've got Soundwave showing a hologram of Megatron with his Autobot logo now. We are forwarded on to the title page, Earthfall Part 2, Detonation Boulevard.
I love that. I love Galvatron's face, how it's rendered there on that last page.
Just that scowl.
Yeah.
Yes, he's not looking too happy.
Yeah, I'm sure Galvatron is like, why are we wasting our time with these stupid fleshlings? Can't I just step on them?
So we are brought up to the exact moment in which the last book ended. And we've got Thundercracker right in the center of the page, just going berserk over the fact that his dog is in the line of fire.
And his house has been destroyed.
And his house has been destroyed. But I think he's more concerned about his dog. Optimus Prime is speaking, asking, you know, what's going on? We're Autobots. We worked with you. Marissa Fairborn is saying, now stand down or face the consequences, Optimus Prime. All the while, Buster, the dog, is barking and causing a racket. And it's funny that Thundercracker just cannot stop thinking about the dog. He's like, don't yell at my dog. She doesn't have anything to do with this. So we've got Optimus Prime trying to figure out what the heck is going on with this. He's like, we didn't come back to fight. We're searching for one of our own. Mr. Fairborn and Prime just keep talking back and forth. And
Marissa brings up the fact that Jazz shot that guy.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And Jazz like, sorry.
Charles, when was the shooting?
That was back close to the end of the ongoing, like right before Chaos.
Okay.
When there was like a standoff. The Decepticons had ceded those like Megatron enhanced weapons to people and like were brainwashing people.
Okay.
And,
yes.
You know, one guy was about to shoot Bumblebee and Bumblebee was talking him down, but Jazz just jumped the gun and killed him.
Hmm. So Jazz apologizes to Optimus and Optimus just says later. And then he addresses Cup and says, then I believe the matter is settled, Director Fairborn. And then Optimus Prime essentially just jumps Galvatron by saying, take the battle to them, no human casualties, and Galvatron is mine. Galvatron welcomes this because he's been getting tired of talking. Cup and, yes, I believe it's just Cup, quickly transforms into his truck mode and drives off. And Prime and Galvatron beat the hell out of each other for a bit. We jump to outer space where the Ark is is burning. It's being basically eaten alive from the inside by the human built microbots, as they call them. And we've got Jetfire trying to figure out what the heck is going on. And I noticed this while I was reading. This is identically the exact same Jetfire we're getting in the new toy.
Yeah, I mean, he showed up at the end of Dark Cybertron in this form, so.
Yeah. So I noticed it more when he was running around at the end, because he switches his face around, and that kind of really gave it away to me, but yeah, that's exactly him.
Well, if you look at Cups mode in the previous page, that is the classic toy that was released a while back.
Yeah, that's a good toy, too. That's one of my favorites. So Jetfire's on the Ark here trying to fix what's going on, and he's talking to this DOC bot. And it's kind of funny because this DOC bot, it reminded me of, what's his name from the Iron Man movie, that little one arm bot that he made, just couldn't do anything right.
Oh.
And he just basically had him there as like as a companion, but really didn't need him to do anything because he was useless. But yeah, that's the way I took it, is this guy was just kind of there.
Wasn't there a GoBot character that kind of looked like that?
I don't know. He looks kind of like a trash can, really.
I mean, he doesn't look like it, but his function reminds me of like an R2 unit.
Yes, exactly. Yep. Yeah. So basically, Jetfire figures out a way to cripple the microbots by using an aerosol. So he fixes that, but he's got a whole ship full of these things, so he's got to mass produce it quickly. And he sees that there's some more damage to the ship, but it's something a little bigger. So he's got to deal with that. Back on Earth. No, it's not Earth. Sorry. We're still on the ship, and we've got the Constructicons. They are the ones that that dealt with this new menace of Jetfires, and they're just happy to be of service again. They said that Prowl had called them and let them know that that Jetfire could use help, so they came and helped him. What do you guys think of the issue so far? Give me some help here.
Well, I mean, this drone thing that Jetfire has is completely new. I don't remember him ever having something like this little buddy that he talked to, and he kind of implies that he's like a lower Cybertronian life form, like a kind of artificial intelligence thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was interesting. And
they've brought that up before with the whole functionist thing, where you had, like, I think it was in Megatron Origin or something, like around that time, where you had that projector bot.
Oh yeah, that was in
Robots. It was in Shadowplay, I think.
Yeah, it was Robots in Disguise 17, where they had Shockwave's
of course it was
flashback. when they did that issue where Shockwave like went back like through his whole history, and that projector bot was working for the Senate, basically.
Yoshi, what do you think of the issue so far?
I want to wish you a lot of luck, Daryl. We're all rooting for you.
You suck.
The Constructicons here are interesting. I mean, they're like, you know, they just want to work with Prowl. they're just here for Prowl.
Do you notice how that that little mini bot thing that's eating the ship kind of looks like a movie design?
Yeah, it does.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
I think that's a commentary there. It's like, Michael Bay, this is how you write a story that has to deal with humans and Transformers.
All right, let's continue this fiasco. All right, so we've got Cup is now fighting against Rumble and Frenzy on Earth. And he says, "Geez Louise, fellas." That shows how old he is.
He's 45.
He's 45 years old. Yeah. Let's go here. You've got what is it? Jazz is shooting at, who is he shooting at? Either Buzzsaw or Laserbeak.
I think it's Laserbeak because he's got red highlights there.
Okay. But I found it interesting that they've kept the War for Cybertron design for this guy. You know, he's not the old tape design that Rumble and Frenzy are.
Right.
It's just interesting. It's what I found interesting about that.
Well, Rumble and Frenzy aren't tape designs either. They're like kind of tank mode things, at least.
Oh, are they? Okay.
Yeah, from Robots in Disguise.
Okay.
I mean, we can ask Andrew about it, but I think he's like they're using their. Didn't they have a mold that came out recently that was like a tank? They were tank modes.
Yeah, it's what's being used right now for the
subscription service.
The subscription service, yeah, for
the Rewind.
Rewind, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what they're based on currently.
I knew it too, Jeremy. I was just going to get to it in a second after you.
We're pulling for you.
this is going oh so well. So basically, Jazz is firing at Laserbeak, and Laserbeak draws his fire right onto the human tanks. So he ends up shooting at the humans again. And I don't know if he kills anybody, but he definitely realizes that he can't catch a break. So
yeah, I don't think he actually hits any humans.
No. But the distraction of, you know, almost killing somebody gives Blitzwing enough time to sucker punch him and knock him out or knock him down. So anyway, Optimus Prime yells, "Jazz!" And Jazz says, "Caught me blindside, Prime." And then he says, "No, this is all wrong. Or this is wrong. This is all wrong." So they all get out and they break off and retreat. And Cup leads the way, followed by Prime, which is followed closely by Jazz. Galvatron and the rest of the Decepticons follow in pursuit. And Marissa Fairborn is asked for orders by her army there. And she is telling them to hold back. Let them take care of it themselves, the Decepticons.
And the important thing is Buster's okay.
Buster's fine, yeah. Buster the dog is good. And is welcomed with open arms back to Thundercracker, who could give two shits about the little battle that just went on. he actually, speaking of Thundercracker and the dog, Thundercracker remarks, "I love you too," to the dog. So he can actually love, and he loves that dog. All right, so we've got the Autobots in retreat, followed by Blitzwing, Soundwave, and Galvatron. And they are firing on them. And they can't really get away too much. But they do pass the checkpoint, which has RC and Sideswipe sitting there. So they Sideswipe and RC just start firing on them. I guess they got a little bit more backup. Prime and the rest. We cut to space where we see a Cosmos all alone.
Forever alone.
Just alone. He's by himself. And he is, I guess, is he relaying a message from Prowl or just getting a message from Prowl? I don't get it.
I think he's trying to send a message to Prowl.
Okay. Well, he basically gets the message, and Prowl is telling him that he's inbound with Skylynx, which is just part of Skylynx. I don't know why he's not bringing the rest of them, but he's coming in. His ETA is 73 seconds, and that he's telling Prime that he's made a mistake. He's known it from day one. So we cut back 1 month. To when the mistake was made. So we're back on Cybertron, and we've got Prime and Prowl in a room. Prowl is yelling at Prime that the mistake is that we fought Megatron for millions and millions of years. He shouldn't have even survived long enough to have a trial. But he did. Prime says, "But he did. We're Cybertronians, Prowl, dented and scarred, but not broken, not irreparable. You don't care about law. Well, care about this. Sentient beings must have the right to change." Prime goes on to say, "You throw your millions of years of war in my face. We both know that Megatron did, and we both know what our side did. Megatron knows his actions were wrong. Do we?" Prowl responds, "Prime, okay. I have a reputation for being ruthless. No? Do I? When the Decepticons took over my mind, nobody even noticed. That's not a good thing. But I'm a Cybertronian. My spark glows the same as everyone else's." Want to read all this?
Basically, Prowl's having a mea culpa moment, and he wants to make up for his past indiscretions by joining Prime on his mission.
Yeah.
Or that's what he wants us all to think.
And Prime gives him the opportunity to stay behind on Cybertron, right? But Prowl says that he needs to be with him because he knows that he's making a mistake and he needs to be there.
Well, he doesn't say that to Prime. Like, he's to Prime's face, all he says is, I want to join you on Earth because, you know, that's where we, you know, that's where I changed briefly for a time, and he felt a kinship with the people, and he thought maybe they have more to teach him. That's what he said to Prime's face. But then when he leaves the room and he's talking to the Constructicons, he says Prime's making a mistake and he has to be there to clean up the mess.
Right. Yeah.
So he's basically still pretty two-faced.
Yeah.
Well, he thinks he knows more than anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when he does leave the room and he walks outside, he's greeted by his Constructicon friends, where they all greet him like a superstar. Prowl, did you talk to him? Is it true about Megatron? Are we going with him? Yeah, do we get to join the Lost Light crew? Everyone wants to join the Lost Light crew. So he's telling them basically, no, you're not joining the Lost Light crew, and that, and he said, and then one of them, I think that's Long Haul. No, it's not Long Haul. I don't care who that is. They all look the same after a while. So one of them says, does that mean we're staying on Cybertron? And Prowl says, no, we're going back to Earth. It's a mistake, but it's one that I can't make. I can't let them make without me there. So there you go. Yeah. To fix everything. Yeah. So we're finally back up, caught with the, the chase, and we've got Sideswipe and Cup and RC and Prime, and they're all being chased by the Decepticons. And I don't know who the Jet is there, but there is a Jet in pursuit as well.
That's probably Blitzwing, because you've got
two tanks there already too, though.
That's Brawl. Remember, Brawl was there with them
from the last issue.
So it's Brawl, Galvatron, and Soundwave in his like weird ATV mode.
Yeah.
And then
he really looks like that Breacher toy, the Scout Class toy.
Yeah. So we've got a lot of Decepticons, we've got a lot of Autobots, and they're essentially just chasing each other right now, where the Autobots are just running. They want to try and stay away from any kind of city. They don't want to get into a populated place. Now, what ends up happening is the Decepticons, they push them towards a city. They didn't want to go there. So anyway, they end up getting into, I don't think it tells us, but it might be Poverty Flat. Is that might be what it is? Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
So Poverty Flat is where they end up going. And they get cornered at the end of the road, basically. And so they get cornered. And as it's looking very slim that they're going to get out of this alive, what comes from the sky but Skylynx and Prowl and his Constructicons. And he says, I've got the Decepticons right where I want them. Haven't you been listening? Prowl, what are you going to do? Winning, Prime. See, the cons don't want humans knowing they're here. Gives us an advantage. Tell him, Prowl. Well, we'll do more than that, Bone Crusher. Constructicons, join together. Let's show the Decepticons that when your opponent slips up, boom, 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 you press the advantage. As hard as you can go, as far as it can go. And when you're done, you leave them devastated. And they form Devastator and come crashing down on the small town of Poverty Flat. And a
who
very cool
the town Poverty Flat. That's terrible.
It's gonna be flat. But yeah, it's a very cool double page spread. Devastator is devastating.
With Prowl right in the center there.
Yep. But, it's a very cool ending of this book. It says next full fathom five.
No idea what that means.
no clue. But, thank God that's over. What did you guys all think?
I just want to wish you luck, Daryl. We're all rooting for you.
Well, the one thing that we skip through it, but when they are, you know, they're all in vehicle mode and they're cornering them in the town, and Galvatron is you know, yelling at them, that, you know, calling them terrorists, basically, you know, like, because they're working with the U.S. government, and he says, step outside your vehicles with your hands in the air, or we, the army of these United States of America.
Oh, yes.
And then Blitzwing says, states, whatever, we'll have to blast you to the afterspark. I think at one point also Cup makes the mistake of pronouncing Earth, Ert.
Ert.
You know,
yeah, so he did that last time too.
I like how the Cybertronians are, you know, they're still adjusting to to Earth's cultural references.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely want to see the next issue now. That was a major ending there.
Definitely. I can guarantee you that I will not be doing the review on it. But that was fun. That was a fun review to do.
Yeah, I think the writing is still really strong in this book, and the art, you know, we've mentioned how many of the characters are based on their toys, which it came off really well, but then also the humans in the flashbacks and in the main stories are all done really well. So
I really liked it how they based how they started it off by going back so far and pulling the history of Marissa Fairborn right out of All Hail Megatron. I really enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm. The only thing about that it's a little bit jarring to me is that All Hail Megatron, I mean, came out in 2008. So, I mean, granted, this is a comic book, so, you know, it doesn't have to match reality. It's clearly not matching reality with giant transforming robots. But the whole Occupy movement didn't happen until 2011, I think. So it's kind of weird to say that, like, Occupy was going on when the Decepticons attacked during All Hail Megatron.
That's the one part that bugged you about it. Not the fact that somebody could go from not being in the military at all to becoming to leading an entire squadron in what, 4 years, 5 years?
Yeah, that I'll believe. Yeah, I mean, that, of course, that also requires some more suspension of disbelief. But yeah. It just seems odd to pick that particular event to, you know, to use as the as her in her flashback. But I mean, I think it still works. I mean, it's not, you know, I'm not really complaining about it. It just seemed a little bit weird to me.
I think it would get new readers to go back and read it.
No, yeah, I mean, definitely for All Hail Megatron. I'm just saying, you know, making her like a protester for the Occupy movement just seemed a little odd, but that's fine.
You know what wasn't odd, though? How beautiful this textualist art was, because it just had me the whole way through. It looked gorgeous.
All right, Josh Perez, you're doing good now.
Josh, I approve. Keep it up, good man.
And also Joanna for on the flashbacks, too. Joanna LaFuente did all the flashback colors.
Hear, hear.
You can be friends again, Josh, with Yoshi.
Yes, you've done good, sir. Wow. Didn't go unnoticed.
I'm still, I don't know, I still, there's something about Marissa Fairborn that I like her face, I don't know. I'm still not.
Did you see her ass on like the third page? Oh my God, that was really well done. The scene where it's one really saying she's holding the dog and her back is just right to the camera. It's just that's art.
Yoshi's views do not represent the views of Transmissions Podcast.
If I go down, I guess I'm going down by myself. I want to wish you all a lot of luck. I'm rooting for you.
Yeah, but I'm definitely I'm liking the way this Earth storyline is going. I'm intrigued. It makes me wonder, like, how much Decepticons were like listening in on what the Autobots were planning to do, because it seems like they clearly came here to Earth just to mess with the Autobots, and they must have known that they were coming here.
Well, remember, Ravage is hiding out in the Shrink's room for who knows how long.
Yeah, but that they're off in outer space somewhere.
Yeah, but I think well, maybe I'm stretching it too much, but I would think it would stand to reason he's been there for quite a long while before they took off.
Oh, maybe. All right. Is that our final thoughts?
Yep. End segment.
All right. So that's it for our Robots in Disguise number 29 review. This week, we do not have a classic review for you. It was the Memorial Day weekend holiday, and we just are taking a slight break, but we'll be back shortly. Not next episode, because next episode is going to be a special episode, but after that, we'll be back. So,
should have had more time to produce a classics review.
Are you volunteering to edit?
It's too bad there's not like a blog they could go to if they needed a fix for their classics review.
Yeah, someone should get on that.
I think the Underbase does them.
Yeah, that's true. There you go.
Oh, of course. Check out Yoshi's blog. We will have a link in the show notes.
Thank you. Me? Really? Aw.
And Yoshi, what you're up to issue 50 of the Marvel series?
Holy crap! The Enderbase saga just kicked my ass. Yes, I am.
So you're about 20 issues ahead of us, ahead of the reviews we're doing on the podcast. But so lots of interesting stuff to go through, and Yoshi transcribes all the letters from the back of the comic from the 80s. So. Be sure to check
pictures of the ads.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
All right. So that's it for comics. And we'll move on to just a tiny bit of movie news. And Jeremy, was this one item you put in here?
Yeah. A while back, I signed up for that viral campaign that they have where they had the voicemail, I think. But an email came out. I think it was in the last week or so. Basically, it's just more viral stuff. It had some videos like talking about the fall of Chicago, keep Earth human, you know, be vigilant, report any Transformer sightings. I just thought that was kind of neat. We'll have the link to TFW's coverage of it in the show notes, and you can check out the videos and everything. And it's from that TransformersAreDangerous.com site.
Do you know if they changed the phone message yet? Do they do something different with it?
I haven't had a chance to call that.
Oh, okay.
I would imagine they have.
Okay.
The video had some... Was that new footage that we hadn't seen before from the trailer? Like, I thought there was a really good shot of Lockdown.
Yeah, I think some of that was new footage, and some of it was recreations of footage from Dark of the Moon.
Yeah, okay.
From the Chicago fight.
Right.
It looks like the phone number, if you call, you can leave a message.
So. Transformers are taking over my local Toys R Us. They're everywhere.
Yeah. So just call in. I've been in Target. They have nothing. You don't have to worry. No Transformers here. So anyway, I get a kick out of these little viral campaigns that movies put out.
All right. So, yeah, well, as you said, we'll have a link to that in the show notes. You can check that out and... you know, keep building the hype for the movie. And that'll do it for movie news, and then we're going to move on to our trips to the store. And this is where we show off all the cool merchandise we get each week, and we do this as a video segment on YouTube, so you can check that out. We'll have a link to that in the show notes. But we'll also have the audio here, so you can listen to what we got, but... You know, it's always much better if you can see it. There, you know, we always get some cool Transformers toys. So check that out now. Right now, we're going to show you some cool Transformers merchandise. So, Daryl, why don't you start us off?
All right, let's get into this. First up, last week we reviewed Windblade number 2. I got myself my copy. This is the Sarah Stone cover, and it's awesome. I mean... I thought I was on the fence, but I got into the store and I saw it there and I thought, nah, you know what? This is a kick-ass cover. So I picked it up. Awesome. Really good cover. On to my favorite stuff, the toys. Here we go. Age of Extinction Slug. Yay. It's empty. But here he is, out of the box. And he's pretty cool, actually. I mean, last time we were talking about, or I mentioned that I picked up Scorn, and Scorn only has one arm, like the other one's his tail. So this one's got two actually functioning hands, and that's pretty cool. I'm not too fond of these giant Triceratops heads, halves that are up here on his shoulders. It kind of get in the way, but you know what? It's a cool figure. I really like the head sculpt as well. And yeah, it continues on with the whole medieval knight styling they got going on there. So yeah, I like it a lot. Look for my review of him coming up soon. I visited my toy store and, or my local comic book store, which is where I get a lot of my toys. And I got this guy. He's not complete. It's a bit of a bummer, but I really like this mold. This is really cool. So
Which Optimus is that?
This is, well, they call him like Galaxy Convoy, or he's, what's the North American one? This is Cybertron Optimus. So,
okay.
Yeah. So I really actually, I love the alt mode, which, I can't actually complete, which is a bummer. The matrix that you can get on the inside, is missing for me. So I gotta get a matrix for this, but, he'll probably just end up standing in the back of my prime shelf and, he'll just be looking cool there.
You have a prime shelf? You
don't? A shelf of just Optimus Primes, yes.
Jesus.
Yes. Come on, Yoshi, you call yourself a fan?
I live in Alaska.
You have a lot of catching up to do when it comes to toy collecting. So this is the back of his, trailer mode. It also becomes like a backpack, like wings and stuff. There's supposed to be a piece that comes out from here on both sides that help it connect to the figure in alt mode. These are obviously both missing. So these are the biggest pieces that I'm missing here. But I did check and the electronics work. So he's got a gun here. So that's pretty cool. He does have two missiles on here as well. He's missing the handgun.
Daryl fulfilled his dream. He actually killed Yoshi.
I shot Yoshi through the power of the internet. He's pretty cool. I got him at my local comic book store for $15, and that's pretty much why I don't generally buy, figures that are missing pieces and stuff like that. But I allowed myself it this once because it was such a good deal. Now on to the something that I've been waiting to do for a little while now. I picked this guy up the same day, but I haven't opened him. This is Loyal Subjects. This is a blind pack, essentially, for Transformers, and I have no idea what's in it. It cost me $12.99. Maybe you can see. Maybe it doesn't matter. It says $12.99. So, basically, I'm just going to open this thing right now, and you can see what I get. Let's see here. So we're opening
it
up.
Is that your opening toy music, Yoshi? Or are we at the club?
It makes cool little waveforms in Audacity.
So, yeah. So it's got this thing in here. So let's get it open. Hopefully I can open it here without a knife.
You're going to kill the editor of this episode with all that crinkling.
All right. Who is it?
That's me.
You dropped it?
Nope.
Rookie
Starscream.
Mistake, dude.
It's Starscream. And he comes with a little baggie here with two wings and a blaster in it. So that's pretty cool. I like that. That's cool.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. Does he seem like he's worth $12, though?
It's neat. It's probably not worth $12. I'm not going to chase down the rest of the figures. But it's a neat little, curiosity. So, yeah. So I also have a couple other things. And they are based on our upcoming show, our 50th show, and they are items, exclusive items that I got at TFCons in the past years. So TFCon 2012, I went and I got Shafter. Now, Jeremy, I believe you were there. Did you get Shafter?
Yeah, I got Shafter too.
Right on. So this is the box for him. I got it signed by the artist of the who did the picture here. Shafter is right here. It's a mold made by iGear, and it's cool. I like it. Nice little guy.
Third party Huffer.
That's right. And again, the TFCon went back to iGear for 2013, and this is one of the two exclusives. I didn't really like the second one they were offering, so I didn't bother to buy it. But this is Vanguardian. So they are homaging GoBots, believe it or not, for TFCon. And this is to homage Vanguard from the GoBots. And here he is right here. And this is their Brawl mold. Again, I got the artist to sign the box again. So yeah, that's what I got.
Awesome. Jeremy, what do you have for us?
Well, didn't make it to the comic shop last week because it was a crazy week with the holiday and everything. But did make it to the Amazon store, and Amazon had this little guy.
Hey!
I like him. One thing I don't really like about it, I don't know if it's the same on your guys, is the paint apps on here where it's white. The red really bleeds through, and I mean, it just looks like they could have done another coat of white paint on there. Other than that, it seems fine.
Cool.
And he has his little mini-con buddy. And I thought that was going to be all I had, but today I got a mysterious package from the Great White North.
not me.
No. The American Great White North.
America.
Yeah. But it's got...
Yeah, drop it.
Yeah. This nice postcard from someone named I can't read it. His handwriting's horrible. it's all came from Yoshi. got this print from Livio Ramadelli signed.
Cool.
Very nice. And a sketch. I'm guessing he did this one at the con?
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, Shockwave there. And he also got me this Dark Cybertron number 5, Robots in Disguise, signed by Livio as well.
Nice.
And then, who was it that gave us these?
That was Elaine O.
Yeah.
More Than Sky, at More Than Sky.
Yeah, she gave us all these copies of the convention version of Regeneration 1 number 100. So that was really nice of her.
That's awesome.
Sweet of her.
And then the last thing, and I think, Charles, you're wearing your shirt, but this is a Emerald City.
Spoilers.
Oh, sorry. you're editing. You can fix it. But it's Metroplex holding a coffee. It's actually a licensed Hasbro image. I thought that was pretty cool.
I really thought that shirt was sweet. I really did good on that. I wish they had prints of that because I would have bought a print of it.
Yeah, I know. And the last thing I had, since we're also showing some convention stuff, since Charles is going to BotCon and since he shelled out for the Primus package and the golden ticket, I want to give him an example of what he's going to get. This is from 2011. It's the Stunticon Job animated box set.
Looks nice.
Yep. The box art for this year's is so much better than these. So I left the toys in here because I don't have enough shelf space for everything. But basically, you get the 5 figures plus the BotCon pin if you're I think they call it the first day pin. So it's a pretty nice set. I think this is one of the sets that a lot of fans really liked. And it's all animated characters done up as the Stunticons. Like, this is the animated Prime done up as Mixmaster. So
they don't combine, do they?
No, they don't combine.
Aww.
And then some of the other convention toys that you got this year were remolds of some of these same figures as other characters. Usually they're just new paint job and different head. So you can look forward to that, Charles. And
I
hopefully
am.
We can see this year's set with the big Scorponok.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that. Yeah.
So that's all I got.
Cool.
Sweet.
All right, Yoshi, you're up.
Well, Jeremy told me to go to Amazon, and I did. And I picked up Mr. Cosmos.
Yay.
And I have taken this thing to work every single day since it's come in. And I am trying to find something I hate about it. And the truth is, every single day I find something new I love about it. The transforming has gotten easier. It's kind of loosened up a little bit. I've never been a big, a lot of the things that turn me off from newer toys are these, the ball joints, you know, I guess that's what you call them, Daryl. But, you know, this figure does such a good job of hiding those that it doesn't piss me off at all. I have transformed this thing a dozen times at least. I've taken it outside and taken you remember the old My Buddy when we were little, like, My Buddy? That keeps going through my damn head every time I fiddle with this thing at my desk. It is just wicked awesome.
Yoshi, that's awesome. We need a video from you where you're singing My Cosmos, My Cosmos.
My Cosmos and me.
Now you need to get a second one so you can just keep it at work.
Yeah. Well, I did get two because I'm that kind of guy. I have to have one in the box. I'm just OCD like that. When I first started fiddling with this, I don't know if you've got the same experience, Charles, but a leg would pop off or an arm would pop off.
Yeah.
But as I've continued to fiddle with it, it's quit doing that. It's just loosened up and not gotten so stiff. And it's just so well done and so perfect that I have, if I can find something to complain about, which I will because I'm me, I hate the box art. But other than that, I even like the fucking little piece of shit shuttle it comes with. I mean, boom, done. I'm ready to kick ass.
I think is that the same shuttle that Swerve comes with?
No, it's not.
No. Okay.
He's just you know, I've seen some reviews online of this thing and people have complained about the paint job. And of the two that I got, I would say one of them is flawless and this one's got like a little bit of red spackle on his face, which you're not going to be able to see. I guess if that's a concern for you, just be anal retentive about what you're sifting through at the store. But this thing is awesome. I love it. It's My Buddy. I take him with me wherever I go. I haven't stopped yet. He's got some interesting photos now that I'm taking. I'm just putting him out there by the water or in the grass or some shit.
With a pencil.
I'm like a babbling father with his new kid. This is fucking, this thing is, I love this. And even your shuttle retard sidekick is awesome. You know what, Charles?
Yes.
I'm going to send it to you. So I quit talking.
All right. All right. So, I also got to the comic book store and picked up, I'll wait.
I'm putting them down now.
All right. Yeah, so I got to the comic book store, picked up Windblade. There she is. All three covers, like normal.
Oh, boy.
He says help. No during the review, and then when he gets to the store, he buys all three.
Daryl called it.
Yeah.
Well, I already said I was buying all three covers for the miniseries, and then I'll stop. So I didn't buy all three covers for more than ECI.
It's going to get picked up as a full series. And
you're not so you got to buy all three covers for the first issue, and then you stop. next, Yoshi's going to kill me, but this was on the bargain bin at Target, $10. Blu-ray of Dark of the Moon. So I have the other two movies, so I figured I needed the third movie. But the freaking digital copies expired, so...
Oh.
I don't know what I'm
supposed to... I was about to say, that'd be worth it, but...
Yeah. It's almost like there's a loss.
Yeah.
I can send you a digital copy.
You got the DVD, you can always rip it.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not illegal if you own it.
So, we saw last week I picked up Cosmos and Swerve, so they're out of their packages now. And, so here they are.
Nice.
Is Cosmos not the best thing you've ever touched, except for boobs?
Yeah, so Yoshi, you mentioned some paint issues, so I took my Cosmos to work as well, and I made the mistake of letting one of my colleagues fiddle with it. And after he gave it back to me, I don't know if you guys can see, but now some of the paint has rubbed off of the head.
Yeah.
Can you see really? That?
Bastard.
And even on the back, too, I think he was, you know, when we messed around with it.
How the hell did he pull that off?
I don't know, but... So that was
$10.
That was a little bit that was a little bit disheartening. So you know, I gave in and I went back to Target, and I got another Cosmos and another Swerve.
I was at Target tonight and they had none of the stuff.
Oh, I went this weekend. They had a bunch. There were like at least four of.
They weren't even pegged. They were still selling the like the older Megatron and Chop Shop one.
Oh, wow.
I need that one. I don't have that. Those ones never came to Canada.
Oh, you want the... I'll see it. I've seen it before. If you want the Megatron, I can pick that up for you. If I see it.
Right.
Yeah, so those are going to stay unopened. So, I know I said last week I was gonna open them and play with them, and I did, but now these ones are staying unopened in pristine shape.
You have
shape,
a problem.
So, yeah.
Is wise.
I blame Daryl. I also at Toys R Us looking for Masterpiece Grimlock at Toys R Us, didn't find it, but I saw these guys, the old Generations Legends from last year, Optimus Prime and Bumblebee. So I already have Megatron and Starscream, so I decided to pick these up. Yeah. So now I have all the.
It's a good Optimus.
Yeah, and these are all the Series 2 Transformers Legends. So. Yeah. Yeah. And, as Jeremy has already alluded to, I got a package from a Mr. Yusuf Tanha from Juneau, Alaska, with a nice, postcard here. It says, "Hope everything arrives safely from Yusuf." And,
mine said, "Hope everything gets to you in one piece."
So as Jeremy showed his Emerald City Comic Con shirt, and I am wearing mine.
Nice. So.
Now people will think you were there.
And it's very comfortable. Thank you, Yoshi.
You're welcome, sir.
And I also got some prints. So cool print of Optimus Prime from Monstrosity.
I love that.
Signed by Olivia.
That's a cool one.
Yeah, I love this image. And a sketch of the main man, Megatron, by Livio. Livio. Thank you, Livio.
Yeah. I love the sketches.
Is my sketch just a giant robot middle finger?
Giant, yes. Extra points if you can tell me who the hand belongs to.
Behind it is a giant American flag.
And Yoshi also got me the Robots in Disguise number 6, which was drawn by Livio. Got it signed by Livio. And these nice, really nice protectors. Super expensive, little plastic cases.
Yeah, I figured with those I wouldn't have to load it up with a whole lot of bubble wrap. But I did anyways.
And, of course, our Regeneration 1 number 100 convention variant, thanks to our good friend Elaine at More Than Sky. Thank you so much for getting these to us. We really appreciate it.
Nice.
That's awesome.
And I think that's it. Nice haul this week.
Mm-hmm.
And, a lot of it due to Yoshi, so thanks, Yoshi.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks. It's awesome.
Thanks for something I haven't gotten yet.
You know, the Royal Canadian Kilted Yaksmen are holding it at the border. There's nothing much I can do about that.
I'll end up getting a postcard way before the stuff arrives. Hope you got it.
Which will be sad because postcard's going to be in the box.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh. They'll pick through all the stuff.
All right, so we're back from our trips to the store, and we're going to finish up the show with some more feedback. And this week, our awesome listeners have decided to give us two more iTunes reviews.
How am I going to fill up a legal pad with two names?
Right, very big.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right, so first off, we have Mr. Tater X. And he says, great show, 5 stars. These guys are likable and funny. Definitely worth a Transformers fan's time to stop and listen. So short but sweet. Thank you so much, Tater X.
That's awesome. That's a great review. I love that. Tater X, that's a name I can't forget. You're with me all week, buddy. I'm gonna take you to work. I'm going to put you right there. I'm going to stare at your name kind of in a non-straight way.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No. Oh, God, no. That's why I'm doing it.
And I believe Tater X is also Jason Tate, and he sent us some feedback last episode.
Nice.
And so, you know, he sent us a tweet.
He just wanted more of my attention.
Yeah, last episode he sent us a tweet. That said, just wanted to say that I love the show. Big laughing my ass off at the righteous indignation for stickers on free comic books. #fanforlife. So, Jason, you got your tweet read twice in 2 episodes. But that's what you get for giving us a cool iTunes review. So thanks so much for that.
Yeah, thank you.
And he also gave us another tweet. He said, just added the pod to my Stitcher. Always room for more TF talk. So hope we've got a regular listener in you, Jason. All right. So the next iTunes review is from Flash FMA, and he or she says, an awesome show from true fans. 5 stars. I love the Transformers, and these guys have a passion for them. They talk about the awesome comics that IDW publishes, as well as toy info and con info. I will continue to listen to the awesome show and sing its praises to all that will listen.
Wow, nice.
So thank you for that, Flash FMA. We really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
We will sing your praises to all that will listen, too.
I am going to add her name to the list, and I'm going to look at it in a straight way.
we actually don't know if it's a he or a she, so you can...
Oh, I thought you said it was a she.
No, I said he or she.
Oh.
So look at it in a very ambiguous way.
That's right. That's right. Excellent. Keep the reviews coming, guys.
Yeah, we really love that. Really helps the show. It helps us get more visibility. So thanks so much for that. We're up to 11 ratings on iTunes. So keep them coming. Next, one of our longtime fans, Cass Shell, who actually won our transmission score contest. He sent us an email saying that he received his prize in the mail, so he got the CD and thanked us for it. So
Daryl actually sent it.
I did. Yep.
So good work, Daryl.
Thanks. Thanks, guys.
You're earning your way out of the doghouse, buddy. Keep it up.
I'm glad you guys are proud of me.
We're pulling for you.
Just want to wish you luck. We're all pulling for you, pal.
Yeah, so Cass says, thanks a bunch, guys, especially Daryl.
There you go. Daryl. Is it too forward of me to assume that Cass is a fan of mine?
I think Cass might have, you know, put a little too much effort into his praises for you. might have to talk to him about that.
Well, Daryl, maybe you can earn his personal fandom, because he also said in a question that I think you are uniquely talented to answer.
Uh-oh.
So here
we go.
So he, in a separate email, he sent a question. He says, "Hello, gentlemen. I was wanting to get your opinions on the reissues of Transformers G1 figures. I've been looking to maybe start buying some. I was wondering if any of you guys have collected any of the reissues and if you like them or not. Also, do you think they are a good value, especially compared to trying to buy some original G1 toys from eBay? Also, if I were to buy some, where do you recommend I try to buy them from?"
Well, this is actually a really good question, and I have no problem answering it, but I think the best person for this is Yoshi, the guy who really has just started buying the reissue figures.
All right, Yoshi.
I couldn't agree more with you, Daryl. God. Thanks for being quiet, everybody. You just cemented the fact that I'm a giant dick in the butt. God.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
We're poor for you, Yoshi.
Give me the shovel. I'll just keep digging this hole.
Yeah. No, I could definitely answer the question, but I think, in fact, you are uniquely positioned to answer it because you were not or are not much of a big toy guy, but have recently gotten into buying the toys through the commemorative reissues.
It's true. And I'm, you know, maybe the way I went about it was also a result of me living in the middle of no and where. We don't have cons. I have to travel if I go to a con, which I went to my first one. And even at that particular con, I didn't see any of the reissue figures.
Okay.
I've been doing this on eBay and you're gonna pay more than the sticker price that they sold for, but you're not gonna pay anywhere near what the first generation is going for. And, you know, you can still find these things very easily, unopened, still in the box. You know, people bought them to collect them like I do and like Daryl does and like all we all do, and they just didn't open them, and now they're getting rid of them because for whatever reason. And their conditions have been great, all the ones I've gotten. I know that there are some people out there on the eBays that try to pull one over on you. They will say, you know, this is just the box and the very fine print, or they'll say this has been opened in the very fine print. If you're anal retentive like I am, you want an unopened one. Unless you want to, you know, you want to play with them, in which case, you know, save yourself the few bucks and get one that's been opened. And if these eBay sellers are worth their spit, they'll have put pictures of what the condition is of these figures. And everything I've seen online has been good with the open ones and the unopened ones. And sometimes even the open ones come with the box. The stickers haven't been applied. I mean, these are fairly new figures, with all things considering, and people have kept them in good shape and all together.
It helps that they're targeted towards collectors who will generally take better care of the toys.
Yes, and I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Daryl, but these are actually from the original G1 molds. You are essentially getting a G1 character remade in, what year did these come out?
It's in the last 10 years or so.
2004.
Yeah. Yeah, so, these are made from the original molds. You're right. And the thing I would point out is, if you're going to buy them and open them, then go ahead and buy an open one. I mean, if you're going to open this box when it arrives at your house and immediately open it up and start messing with it, then you don't need to spend the extra $5-$10 that it's going to cost extra to buy an unopened one.
Yeah.
As long as it says it's complete and you can confirm that it's going to complete, then go ahead and save yourself the extra money. I'd say average pricing on these things is around $40 a piece. I know we've talked about it a couple times on the show. But yeah, most of the Autobot cars and stuff like that are around $40 a piece. There's a couple, you know, special ones that are worth more, but yeah, average is 40. I know that I was looking recently and found G1 Skids reissue for like $15, and it was unopened. So I mean, yeah, you can get some deals but yeah, expect to pay about $40 a piece for these things. But no, they're a great way to get into it, and if you don't want to spend the insane G1 prices for some of these figures, then yeah, go for it. But know that you will miss out on some of them because, as we were corrected on a previous show, some of the molds don't exist anymore. So,
yeah. And some of them, like Soundwave, isn't actually the Soundwave mold. It's the Sound Blaster that can hold two tapes instead of one. So the front of the tape deck bulges out.
Yeah.
But that's another one where the mold was messed up or lost on Soundwave.
Yeah.
It's just in my experience, you know, if you got the money and you can buy them in a group, you'll save a few bucks. I find that they really are undervalued when you can buy four or more at a time when they're in a collection like that.
Yeah. You mentioned that, and I actually, before we started recording today, I was looking on eBay and I found a lot of them. There were six of them being sold for $110.
Wow.
And that's a great deal.
That is a fantastic deal.
Yeah. So if you
I saw that same one. And if I didn't have half those characters already.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So, but I mean, like one of them, I think the Inferno that was there looked like it was open, but it looked like everything was all there. So it's not a big deal. But, I mean, if that's what you want to start doing, then go for it. I have five reissues myself, and I've opened my Soundwave. But I've never opened any of the other ones. But it's just nice to know that I've got them there. I've got, what is it? I've got the Soundwave, like I said. I've got Prowl, Smokescreen, Trax, and Red Alert. So, yeah, those are the ones I've got.
As far as my action figures are concerned, that's the bulk of my collection are the reissues. You know, just go super slow, read all the fine print, ask a bajillion questions until you're comfortable by, you know... I don't know what your experience is, Daryl, but I haven't ever gotten one shipped poorly or damaged, or it has been what they've said. It's always been the picture.
Yeah.
Knock on wood.
Well, my experiences can be uniquely different from yours as I'm in a different country. But I've gotten to the point where I try to stick to in Canada auctions because there's a significant bump up in price when you start talking about customs and shipping and stuff like that.
Sure.
But yeah, no, if you're, you know, comfortable with where you're looking and all the shipping costs and all that stuff all work out and they're all within your budget, yeah, go ahead. I've only had once or twice over the course of my entire eBay career, which has been since eBay began because I'm an old bastard. But, it's only been once or twice, maybe three times that I've ever been actually, you know, screwed on eBay, which, you know, you pay your money and no one sends the figure. So, but eBay's gotten to the point like where they're really good. They'll refund the money and stuff like that. In the old days, they didn't. You were just out.
Right. Yeah. They're great figures. They're the original molds. They're the original. You're basically just getting a G1 figure in an updated box.
Yep.
So yeah. Knock yourselves out. I can't support that idea more than enough. That
Agreed.
Came out wrong. I can't support that idea anymore. Fuck me. It's a great idea.
Agreed.
All right. Thanks, Daryl and Yoshi, for that response. And Cass, hopefully that helps you out and helps you make the decision that you, if you want to start picking up those reissues. And thanks for your question. All right. Next, we had a comment from one of our oldest listeners, Caruba, who's been listening since the first episode. And he is at Caruba on Twitter. And he sent us a comment on episode 47 and gave us a link to the 80s commercial for Punch and Counterpunch and the clones from G1, since we talked about that during episode 47. And he said, you guys mentioned Punch, and that reminded me of this toy, of the toy I had as a kid. And then he put in the commercial. So we'll have a link to that in the show notes. It's a, you know, it's pretty fun to see the old 80s commercials and how the animation, it looks really good for, you know, for the commercial. I wish the animation was that good in the actual episodes.
Yeah, I was going to say that. That's awesome animation. It's like really, really good.
I would think that the commercials, since they actually go towards bringing money back into Hasbro, had a little bit better budget.
Yeah. And next we got some feedback from Tom Lynch, and this is a rare opportunity since we recorded a little bit later. We actually got some feedback on the last episode we did. So episode 48, at the time we're recording, we just released it, and he gave us some feedback on the Facebook page. He says, question for you guys, since I don't have a local comic book shop to support, and also because I like to binge read, I only buy trade paperbacks, though I'm slowly trying to collect the IDW hardcovers to catch up on that stuff. But I only have one and two so far. I have More Than Meets the Eye and Robots in Disguise volumes 1-5 each, and was wondering if the Dark Cybertron trade paperback will pick up right where those two left off. And he wrote back and said, oh, never mind, because he got to the end of the volumes and saw that they say it continues in Dark Cybertron. So he answers his own question there. So, we like industrious listeners who don't make us work too hard on the questions. but also he says he has a separate topic. He says, I was kind of bummed to hear that not one of you guys found anything you liked about the new Dinobots. Personally, I absolutely have to think of them as totally separate from G1, and it's like comparing G1 Optimus Prime to Robots in Disguise Car Robots Optimus Prime. Homaged, yes, but totally different character. If you're expecting G1 Dinobots, the movie's going to piss you off even more, and you guys are cool, don't get pissed off. However, Scorn is an awesome toy. I love the night helmets they all have too, and the bright colors, which you know won't make it into the movie, are absolutely ridiculous and silly, and I can't wait to get all of them together for a rainbow dinosaur collection.
Was I pissed off about them? I don't remember being upset about them.
So Tom, I think we have to correct you a little bit, because Daryl was not down on the movie toys. He actually picked up Scorn. So, so Daryl, you can,
yes, suck it, Tom. Just kidding.
There goes another listener.
I'm kidding, Tom.
Please leave a positive review at iTunes or Stitcher.
Yeah, but, so I think definitely, maybe Yoshi and I are the most negative towards the movies. I don't know.
I've decided, since we're about a month out from the movie, I'm actually going to try to be more positive about it. If only just to make sure I don't have a horrible experience when I go see it. But I mean, I'm just not going to take it as seriously as I would any other movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, man, and for me, you know, I've always said that the movies, I set the bar really low for my expectations, so they don't have to do much. But what I absolutely wish the movies had that they always seem to lack is any kind of defining characters for the robots. That's my problem. Yeah,
that's my biggest issue.
Yeah. The story for the robots, the characters of the robots are always second fiddle to the humans. And that seems to never get fixed. So that's my major problem with the movies. I mean, the movies can be super different from G1. I don't consider them, you know, to be they have to be G1 or they're going to be crap. I want some, you know, homage paid to the mythos and the characters behind the Transformers, and not to just have them treated as special effects and background characters. And
right, where I take it as a personal assault on everything I hold dear. he's making a point, you know, reset your brain, go in there empty, you know, these are new, this is how it is, but it's not what I wanted.
Yeah,
but you're still gonna go and see it.
If my buddy comes through and still wants to pay for my ticket to hear me rant, I will be happy to go see it. Otherwise, I'm not planning on spending my own money on it. Jesus, no.
You should have your phone recording you ranting throughout the entire thing. We can just release that as a special episode.
Sure. I'm fine with that.
I think that's illegal.
By the time we go, Daryl, just because of how the cinema is set up here, there'll be nobody in the theater. It'll be me and my buddy, and I can just hold the thing up to my face and talk. He'll love to hear me bitching through the whole thing, so it's fine. I'm sure it is illegal. Come up here and get me.
All right. Yoshi says, come at me, bro.
Come at me, bro. Do you even lift? I don't think so.
Yeah, so I think we've made ourselves clear. I mean, so Yoshi, I think, unless they switch directors, Yoshi's not going to be happy. But for the rest of us, we're just looking for any kind of, you know, little character moments that we can hang our hats on, but they don't seem to be forthcoming. I mean, and yeah, I know it, we're kind of prejudging, but we've had three movies to to judge what we're going to see. So, but yeah, I mean, it's clear these movies aren't for us. They're for today and
you.
For...
They're for our listener who likes them a lot. That's totally fine.
Yeah, yeah.
And Tacoma Prime.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's why we have to invite Tacoma Prime on from time to time to keep us grounded. We will just go off and honestly, by the time we hit stop on this, we're still going to be bitching about the thing.
Really, this whole podcast is just so our wives don't kill us. So we, you know, we stop bitching to them about the stuff so we can bitch with each other.
So, but thanks, Tom, for writing in. And we're always happy to hear from you. Also, he sent us a couple of tweets. So, Daryl, he feels your pain regarding the cat issue you had last episode.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
He says, I have two cats. I know that smell. I am so sorry, dude. That is sinus searing.
Oh, man, that was bad.
But it was podcast gold.
Well, I'm glad my misery helped everyone else out.
Some of us more than others.
And he also, when he references when we talked a little bit about the VW bug of Bumblebee, Masterpiece Bumblebee, and he says, you guys are weird if you think that car is off. Bumblebee's alt mode is super squat for a VW bug. But he says, kidding aside, that's really pretty accurate to a real VW bug. They're longer than you'd think. So... food for thought. Still don't like it.
No, I mean, it's good to know. We should probably fact check that, but it's good to know.
What, you don't trust our listeners on Twitter?
No, I'm not saying that. Our listeners are very well educated and fine individuals who I often write their names down on a legal pad and take to work to think about. But... I know nothing about VW bugs, and I guess it would be naive of me to just assume the things I read or what somebody says is gospel without fact-checking. I'm coming off like a dick, but I don't mean to be. I'm just I know nothing about VW bugs other than when I look at that action figure, it doesn't look right.
Yep. No, that's clear and perfectly rational position to take.
Send your hate mail to Yoshi at
care of Daryl.
Just put Canagia on it. It'll find him. Then me.
The Great White North.
All right. So that's all the feedback we've got. And we'll end the show with some more shit from Jake Dalrymple.
Oh, man.
So he released a few more tweets this week. First, he says, I only realized Grimlock's brains were located in his balls after I neutered him. That's why today he talks like a damned idiot.
Oh, awesome.
Ironhide just asked me to fix his hose. True story. And another choice one, Witwicky auto repairs and tow service because Ratchet can't fix anything. And that's accompanied with our favorite picture of Ratchet flipping the table, screaming, Dalrymple! Yeah, you know, they never really met in the comics, but I get the feeling that Jake is not a fan of Ratchet, not impressed with Ratchet's abilities as a doctor.
You know, it's whatever this Jake guy is doing, when I read it, I just kind of think of it, all right, this is... everything I know about Transformers inside the Jake Dalrymple canon. this is just a separate path I have to follow, and I'm laughing my ass off the whole way. So, obviously, in his universe, Transformers are walking around, and he deals with them. And he and Ratchet just, you know, have a little beef going back and forth.
And Jake's still in the 80s. He's got his Atari 2600. He's got New Coke. He's got a DeLorean going 88 miles per hour. It's not just Transformers. He's a true 80s guy.
such a fun thing to follow. He usually posts in the morning. I just like get to work and I open up Twitter. And I'm like, oh, there we go. Now I can keep going.
Yeah. So thanks, Jake. And we're still listening. We're still reading. All right. So I think that's it for this episode.
No.
Feels like it's taken days.
But not too many days. Just more than one day.
It's the magic of the internet. For the listener, it's only a couple hours. For us, it's days. All right. But thanks for listening, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Toodaloo. Thanks for picking up our transmission. Give us feedback on our website at www.transmissionspodcast.com, where you can find all of our contact info on social media and links to all of our show notes discussed in each episode. You can also email us directly at feedback@transmissionspodcast.com.